Welcome to episode 10 of Speak Beastie for April 24th, 2016. I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Sophie.
And I'm Aaron. Just kidding.
He was fired.
I'm Michael, who is not Aaron.
Thankfully. Oh. Just kidding. Everyone's gonna think I hate Aaron, and I really don't.
That's good. You gotta get some drama in.
Yeah, the drama. This week on Speak Beastie.
So before we get into the discussion here on Speak Beastie, we just want to remind you that Speak Beastie is on Patreon.com. I feel like I should be doing this with that 1920s voice.
And now a message from our sponsor.
Stop the presses! Speak Beastie is on Patreon.com. With options ranging from $1 to $5 per month, you can become a sponsor of Speak Beastie and help us to bring you more from Newt's fantastic wizarding world. But wait, there's more! Rewards include access to bloopers and extended conversations. You can also help us decide on a discussion topic for future episodes. We want to thank all of our sponsors for helping us reach our first goal. Our next goal is to get merchandise. Check out patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more and become a sponsor today.
And now for the Phoenix Register. So, Aaron is still fired. Just kidding. As much as, you know, he hasn't been making an appearance these past two episodes, he's definitely still on Speak Beastie. He's just a busy man about town.
Fired? What are you guys talking about? I'm right
here. I want to hear
That's
your...
That's my Aaron impression.
Do better. Do better than that. Come on.
On point.
What? Is that a thing he says?
No, that was me saying that I'm on
point. Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed on episode 8 when he was saying something. He was trying to be, like, very patriotic about... like American wizards, and he said something about like, oh yeah, it was about Sasquatch, and he was like, from sea to shining sea, get out of my ocean, or something like that.
He ruined my joke. He just came in there.
And that's why he's fired.
Yeah, so many reasons.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say there's a lot, but if that's worthwhile, that's
nobody
it.
Nobody ruins sure. Ariel's jokes.
That's
and
what
gets
we put on the form.
The firing form?
Yeah.
You're fired because...
Yeah.
Aaron.
Who cares about Aaron? Because something much bigger happened anyway.
So true. We got a trailer.
Whoa!
Which we're totally not going to discuss right now because that's main discussion material. But we do need to... Yeah. We do need to talk about the fact that it came out. So
we'll get on that.
That was big news.
Oh my God.
And the things we learned from the trailer in news, such as the two beasts we actually got to see, the Niffler, which we will discuss in the Newt case, and the Swooping Evil, which we don't know too much about because, one, it's not in the Fantastic Beasts book, and two, well, J.K. Rowling herself had to give us information on it on Pottermore. The Swooping Evil, we don't know much about it so far, except for what we see of it in the trailer. Newt throws a mysterious ball into the air, and an immaculate, blue, bird-like creature emerges from it like a butterfly from a cocoon. But what exactly is it? And I think this wording kind of bothered me because it was like a bird-like creature. I thought it was a bird. Like, it looks just like one. Like, how are you gonna say bird-like? It's not like a pterodactyl.
Well, it really threw me when they were like, butterfly. And then I looked at it again, and I was like, oh, I guess it kind of looks like a large, horrifying butterfly.
Yeah. And then again, we have the whole, it's like a Pokeball emerging.
Yeah, what's that all? Is that like something that's exclusive to the Swooping Evil, or is that something Newt just like does with all of his fantastic beasts? does he have them in Pokeballs and just throws them out?
I think we've talked about that before. They all have to fit in the case somehow.
Yeah. Maybe it's just swooping evil specific. Like it said, it emerges from a mysterious ball, but I don't know. Maybe Newt just has a good grasp on his beasts, and this is how he contains them in Pokeballs.
I was just thinking about how on set Eddie Redmayne would have had to throw a ball in the air, and then they would have just had to watch it bounce along the ground really anticlimactically.
Or worse, what if they had him throw nothing in the air, and he's just like,
maybe.
Like, here it goes.
Yeah.
The magic of green screen.
Yeah.
That set they were probably in with all those pillars underground probably wasn't even a real set. They're like, let's lean up against this imaginary pillar and then throw this imaginary nothing up in the air and watch it imaginary nothing fly
away. Their clothes are actually CGI, too. They're all wearing green onesies.
Well, I mean, I was... Because when you guys were talking on episode 8 about, like, no... None of the beasts are going to be practical. That was definitely a sad thing to hear. So why bother making anything in the movie practical? It's not even Eddie Redmayne. It's a hologram.
It's all animated and...
Ooh.
Says the guy who saw Zootopia 6 times.
Yeah, well, okay. Well.
You want to have a fuss about animated animals?
The line.
This is not the same thing. This is like what you guys talked about with like Jurassic Park.
I'm joking. I'm mad about the CGI beast. Don't worry.
Well, if you have that like beautiful balance of CGI and practical, I feel it makes the CGI and the practical animatronic like together, they make each other more believable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you combine them. That's why, I think that's another reason why Prisoner of Azkaban is my favorite of the Potter films, because it's one of the few to do that extensively.
Yeah.
So, none of that here, though. Just CGI fun fest.
Hooray. Well, we did get some comments from Catherine Waterston about the experience of filming Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. She said, about the movie, it's so clever and it's rooted in truth. Got light, funny elements, and then much darker, more adult elements. I normally don't respond so well to innocent, lovely things. I think, come on, let's get on with it. There's something about the script and the way J.K. Rowling writes. It's tender without being saccharine. It never lingers on the sweet parts, but maybe that's a slightly English thing. Oh, I felt something. Moving on. No, really, it's a beautiful film. It'll kill me to finish filming it.
So true. Not lingering on things.
I'm glad we have Sophie here to be our correspondent on
British correspondent. I know I listened to last week's. You're talking about badges or something. I was like, oh, I have things to say, but it's all right.
You can say them when we get to the Newt case.
I feel like Catherine Waterston was cast because of this, like, personality trait of hers. She sounds very no nonsense and get to the point kind of girl.
Yeah,
I like that. That'll be a good trait for her character.
Mm-hmm. I just like having an actor's take on the whole process in the filming and even J.K. Rowling's script. Like it's like we're not going to get that for a long time. Well, November feels like a long time, so we're not going to know, you know, like we read this, we're like, okay, so we can get an idea of what, you know, the movie's kind of going to be like. So when we watch it, we're gonna be like, oh, so this is what she was referring to. And I think it's like when she said, it'll kill me to finish filming it, I'm like, oh, like that makes me sad. Because when you think about it, you know, Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grant, Emma Watson, they were children and they kind of didn't really have an idea of like the grand scale of how things would be and, you know, the full, what they probably thought would just be 7 movies ended up being 8. They couldn't see, you know, probably that far and be like, oh, I would hate to finish this, you know, it's going to suck. And for her character, she's likely going to be in all 3 movies and, you know, trilogies are so commonplace these days. But still, like, you know, she's an adult. She's going to see, you know, this is going to end in the future, and she's not looking forward to it, and that makes me kind of sad for her, because I'm like, I don't want it to end for you. Like, I hope it continues forever.
I'm kind of glad she said that, just because it confirms what I felt, what I've been feeling with the few kind of behind the scenes things I've read, because I'm really not, like, I do truly just listen to you guys for most of my Speak Beastie, or for my Fantastic Beast news, because I don't really go looking for the behind the scenes stuff, but from what little I've read, the cast does seem to genuinely feel like this is a really this mm-hmm. they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
On set. I know the adults in Harry Potter loved doing that, but they also frequently the adults said that it was like, well, this is fun, but this is also just like kind of a lark, and like we're just doing we come on the set for like a day and then we do our part and we're done. But I guess since, like you were saying, Ariel, the perspective's a little different when almost the entire cast is adults.
Yeah, and she even said it, there's more adult elements. So I think that
yeah,
the adults in the Harry Potter films, X-rated. but I think like you were kind of saying, like the adults in the Harry Potter films, they knew they were doing it was catered more towards children.
Mm-hmm.
So for this one's it's pretty much like at the age that the actors are pretty much the age of the audience.
Yeah,
because it's the Harry Potter audience.
Yeah,
grown up.
So yes, that's what's so good about the movie too, is that it doesn't just go back to this is more evidence that the Harry Potter series is still growing with its audience, just like it did when the first group of readers read it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that I like when series do this and are brave enough to do this. It's the same thing that Avatar: The Last Airbender did with Legend of Korra, and they aged everybody up, and yeah, and then it was more mature. I love that when series do that.
Yeah.
Avatar: Last Airbender. Anybody? Good series.
Sorry, oh, okay. I never watched it.
What?
Oh my god.
I zoned out for a second.
Wow, Shannon.
Michael started talking and I just glazed over and didn't care.
Yeah.
I said, forget that.
He's probably not saying anything important.
Probably not, actually.
You're fine. So, unfortunately, we do have to rehire Aaron because he got a bit of news correct.
That is not, this is a very strange show. Your hiring and firing policies are something else. Oh, he got one thing correct, so we'll bring him back. But he also ruined Ariel's joke, so he's fine.
You know, you just gotta weigh the scales. You just gotta...
I mean, he also did, like, talk about the Thunderbird before she did. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a good track record, I guess.
Aaron Trelawney? Am I right? So, the switch suitcases scenario. Say that five times fast.
That was beautiful.
That was. I said it right the first time. That was improv, too. turned out to be true. Dan Fogler, in a recent interview, said, Newt Scamander and Jacob Kowalski literally bump into each other, and our cases get switched up. I opened my case thinking that inside are pastries, and it's actually an entire zoo of magical creatures, which is like...
That would be disappointing.
That's... Well, yeah, I mean, because pastries, but also, like, he's a nomad, so...
Whoops.
Like, can you even fathom? And he says these creatures come stampeding out, and one of them actually bites him. So Newt takes Jacob along, tries to heal him as he tries to collect all these creatures in the city, and over the course of that, they become friends. Aw. But, okay, like, also, can we be concerned that he's bit by one of them? Like, which one?
It's like, he's taking him along and trying to heal him, so it seems like that healing process is gonna take a while.
Yeah.
It's not just a band-aid, you're done.
And also, what happens to the pastries?
I know.
Like, first of all, why are you keeping them in a suitcase? Yeah. Secondly, does Newt end up eating them or returning them to Jacob? Because I would totally eat them.
He totally eats them.
Yeah.
I just imagine, like, a set of cupcakes from like the grocery store that are just in those plastic things, and it's just those stacked in this case. Nothing else.
Jacob's case is magical too. It just can fit in a limitless amount of cupcakes.
Oh my gosh. I want to live in there.
That'll be the last movie at the very end. That'll be Newt's gift to Jacob. Is he'll give him this his own case that is just it has a whole bakery inside it for him to.
That would actually be really
cute.
That would be super sweet. Take my suggestions, J.K. Rowling. I'm standing in for Aaron
Stop
today.
Listening
Take
to Aaron.
My suggestions. I'm glad that though that I that the explanation was given about the that Jacob gets bit, because that gives the clarification for the reason why they take Jacob along on all of this.
Yeah, because he could have easily just obliviated him after switching the suitcases back. But I guess having him bit puts more at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it like he's gonna die if they don't find this beast in time and do something
or an antidote or whatever?
That'll be interesting, because from what we know of, I believe it's mentioned in, if not in Fantastic Beasts, within the Harry Potter series, that certain animal bites don't always do the same thing to muggles that they do to wizards. I think it was explained on Pottermore that werewolf bites, for wizards, they get turned into werewolves, but muggles just die from them. So there will be, who knows, it depends on what bit him, but magical things, when they interact with non-magical things, don't always work the same way.
At least the Leatherfold didn't get him.
Oh, God.
Don't even, we're not going there. Aaron's not here today. We don't talk about scary things. This is...
Leatherfold could be anywhere.
This is my vacation away from that. Shut up.
Stop looking at your curtains.
No, I'm just going to close my eyes for the rest of the episode.
I don't know if that's helpful.
Stop. Now I want pastries. Like I don't want pastries, but you know.
You guys are going to have to do cooking tutorials for Speak Beastie now.
Oh, I can't cook. I can eat, but I can't cook.
Jacob's delicious cupcakes.
What, Shannon?
You should have seen that rice I just made.
Whoa.
It was overcooked.
Yeah.
I've done that before. Like, I burned it so badly it stuck to the pan, and I had to, like, get a fork and, like, clear the pan out. And I didn't eat any of it, because I was like, well, no. That's when my logic side took over. I was like, that's disgusting, Ariel. Don't do it. I know you're hungry,
my
but
rice
ain't worth
was
it.
Not burnt, so I still ate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well,
just
whatever.
Put some butter and some pepper what? On it.
And now for the owl post for this week. From Eleanor commented saying, the mention of Artemis being the moon goddess when talking about Newt. Didn't Newt's grandson, Rolf, marry Luna Lovegood, and Luna means moon. Just thought it was a pretty cool coincidence, if it is a coincidence. I kind of feel like J.K. Rowling doesn't write anything that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's all on purpose, so yeah.
That's cute. That's I like I that, because Luna's my favorite.
I don't know, like, know what significance that is, but...
Can you guys refresh me? Because I haven't gotten to episode 9 yet. What is this about? Artemis,
you're fired,
moon goddess.
That's one of Newt's middle names.
Oh, see, I told you, I don't know anything about this movie, you guys.
Yeah, and well, that's from the book.
It's in the
Michael,
book.
So.
Oh yeah, I haven't read the book in a really long time.
I never consciously noticed it, and then I was like, wait, Artemis is kind of a weird middle name in general, especially for a guy, because she was a female goddess.
But yes, that's cool. That's a cool comment. That's really
cool. Yeah. Anyway,
now that I get what that is, I tell that's really I'd buy it. I'd buy 12 of it.
What's next in the owl post?
So next in the owl post. So obviously we had lots of comments about the trailer. So Felix Scamander said, I froze the frame on the newspaper in the trailer and found an article on Whiz Jazz. I then realised that your theme is basically Whiz Jazz, and that is probably Joe's sneaky way of communicating with you in the place of K-pop.
Oh. Finger guns.
Whiz jazz.
That's so cool. Whiz jazz.
I don't know if I actually like that as a word.
Whiz jazz. That. Yeah, no. That it makes me giggle.
It's kind of another one of those lazy feeling terms.
We could have done, like, I don't know what.
Yeah.
My brain was starting to try to think of something like Wizard Rock.
Look at us. We're all just like, we can be more creative than J.K. Rowling. No, we can't.
Waz.
Yeah. Never mind.
Waz.
Well, I'm going to listen to some Waz. Or it could have even been Wizazz. Like, like Pizzazz.
Wizazz. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I, yes.
The J is silent. We'll just
so at J.K. Rowling, we thought of something better. Take out the J.
We think we're better than you, basically, because we're changing all the words.
And she's like, I didn't even write that. That's some random thing on a newspaper that Mina Lima made up. Well,
I think that would be awesome too. Since Harry Potter inspired Wizard Rock, if Fantastic Beasts inspires people to do YouTube videos of Wizard Jazz,
my God.
I'm there.
I would be so happy.
Yes,
I want to be. I want to be in a Wizazz group.
We are a Wizazz group, Ariel.
Oh, what would my group name be? Ariel and the Mermaids.
I was gonna say that.
or like Ariel and the Sasquatch Five or something stupid like that.
Oh my God, the Sasquatch.
That would be it. Well, see, I love too. One of my favorite things that they did with the Wizarding World Park is that Celestina Warbeck performs.
Oh yeah.
And she does very much do kind of that old-fashioned style. That's kind of where she's implied to her musical style comes from, is around Newt's era. So she does very much like kind of a 30s, 40s kind of upbeat, jazzy swing style. So if that's what wizard jazz sounds like, I'm all for that. All of the lyrics that are in her songs at the Wizarding World are the proper lyrics, plus some more that they added to flesh out the song in full. And they even took the cues from the book that described the tone of each song, and they're all the correct tone for each one. So if they start performing wizard jazz songs at the Wizarding World, I would love to see that.
Wizazz.
And now a Wizazz performance.
Shall we move on to the main discussion? For today's main discussion, we're going to talk about the trailer.
Yay!
And actually,
Wizazz hands.
Wizazz.
That's a
thing.
So
actually, the day that the trailer came out, I and some other Speak Beastie hosts and Alohomora hosts and MuggleNet staff did a like about an hour, 45-minute live discussion, which you can find on the Speak Beastie YouTube page. Just search that up. That was very like we kind of went frame by frame, and you can also find on the MuggleNet Facebook page extensive screen caps of the trailer, like 100 of them, and it's great. So we're gonna focus in on a few more specific things from the trailer. So first, there are beasts in this movie.
What?
We mentioned them.
Nobody told me that.
Really?
Oh my God.
I know nothing about this movie. I told you guys. Beasts? What the? I didn't sign up for this.
So we saw the Niffler. We saw his little hands. And then later we saw him with the changed purse. And we saw the swooping evil, which we already pretty much talked about.
You know.
But they're pretty
swoops
cool.
Evilly.
I do want to say, I had no idea that was the Niffler's hands in the suitcase. I thought it was a totally different beast, because, like, the hands were kind of creepy. I thought I was supposed to be scared of the hands, and...
Yeah, and we talked about that in the live discussion, and I was like, I'm pretty sure it's the Niffler's hands.
Oh, okay.
They look the same later.
Well, and there was quite a bit of supposing of that a lot of the MuggleNet staff were throwing around before we knew what the swooping evil was. There was a lot of talk of other things that it could have been that we already knew, right?
The augury.
Yeah, that was a popular.
I guess not.
I was really disappointed for you on that, Shannon. Yeah. I really was, because you've been talking about that since since before episode one. And
like, right? So, like, Aaron got his suitcase plot switch, and Ariel got her Sasquatch at Pottermore, and what has Shannon got?
Exactly. But I feel like they did actually confirm that the Augury would be in it, so...
That's good.
I'm not concerned.
Yet.
But yeah, Swooping Evil.
What if there's like an Augury Swooping Evil battle?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Nice. But Swooping Evil has to lose. Sorry.
Yes. I mean, it has evil in the name.
Yeah, and Swooping, like, why is... come on.
Obviously, Newt is not, like, sending him to attack someone. He's like, I want to get this thing called evil out of my pocket.
Yeah, and Swooping has away. Such, like, a negative connotation. Like, swoop. Like, you don't say, like... I was about to say something that completely went against what I was trying to confirm. I was going to be like, you don't say, like, he swooped in and saved the day. Because, like, oops, yeah, you totally say that. Yeah. So, just kidding. But evil, yeah? Like,
anyway,
it's very
evil.
It's very very Final Fantasy, the idea of like working with bad evil things to like help you out, to like gathering evil beasts in your bag of tricks, like good and evil, and just using them all over the place. So maybe the Swooping Evil is like one of those misnomers, like one of those misunderstood things about the wizarding world.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Grimm.
Yeah.
The biggest thing in the trailer, I think, was not even seen, it was heard. And it was the narration that was kind of at the beginning, first half of it, which I believe we decided was Colin Farrell playing Graves.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sounded like him. I don't know, because he's American in this movie, and it's weird.
Yeah, I have issues with that. But I'm like, okay, J.K. Rowling had to have everyone in Harry Potter be British. Then we get Colin Farrell, who's supposed to be American. I'm like, come on. Like, what? I love the British, and he's Irish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I love him. I have no problem with him. But what? Like, it's totally backwards. Like,
I know.
You gotta have the same rules applying. Anyway, continue with the narration. Sorry.
It's not as backwards and confusing as what he says.
Maybe he's just lying. Alright, let's...
The lying liar.
I'm gonna read aloud what he said. You're an interesting man, Mr. Scamander, just like your suitcase. I think there's much more to you than meets the eye. Kicked out of Hogwarts for endangering a human life with a beast.
Tom Riddle.
Yet one of your teachers argued strongly against your expulsion. I wonder, what makes Albus Dumbledore so fond of you, Mr. Scamander?
Oh, name drop.
Oh. What? It was really dramatic in the trailer.
That name.
He says Mr. Scamander twice in these, like, this little paragraph. That's too many.
Mr. Scamander.
Well,
we get it.
Undoubtedly, they're like...
Oh,
they
yeah.
push dialogue together just for the sake of the trailer.
Well, there's your confirmation you guys were looking for about who was going to show up.
Yeah.
It's Albus.
We got that right.
Ding, ding, ding.
And I thought this sounded very similar to Hagrid's story.
Yeah.
Because Hagrid was kicked out of Hogwarts for endangering a beast. But then that brings up the question of Hagrid's wand was snapped, but Newt still has a wand.
Oh.
I mean, we assume that he has it. I did bring up in the discussion, maybe he doesn't have one and he gets a new one in America from one of the wand makers.
Which would explain the introduction of the American wand makers on Pottermore.
Hey.
So that solves that continuity there. At J.K. Rowling, if you hadn't thought of that.
We got you.
Yeah. But the big kind of problem there is that in the Fantastic Beasts book, in the About the Author page, it says, upon graduation from Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, Mr. Scamander joined the Ministry of Magic in the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures. Oof. And so then a few people were like, maybe that meant Dumbledore argued strongly against his expulsion and it worked, but Someone asked J.K. Rowling on Twitter, "We know that Dumbledore has come to defend him, so was the expulsion revoked?" And she said, "Dumbledore was a young teacher at the time Newt was expelled. He wasn't able to revoke expulsions."
She had one chance to fix it. Like,
we were trying to give you an out. Like,
yeah.
So there's been a lot of discussion about this, obviously. Just in, like, MuggleNet's Facebook pages.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although when I was pasting the tweets in, I did realize she didn't say... She just said Dumbledore wasn't able to revoke expulsions.
Oh.
She didn't say nobody else could.
Because was...
But I still think this it's kind
is,
of...
Yeah.
This is before... We don't necessarily have confirmation that Dippet was headmaster at this time, right?
Let me check.
Because he... Well, we know he was Riddle's time, but that was the... Was that the 40s?
Yeah.
30? No, that was the 20s.
Yeah.
No, was it the... I don't know what it was.
I think it was the 40s.
Okay, that's what I thought. 30s and 40s, maybe.
But I was discussing this with my boyfriend, and he was like... Because he gets the basic idea of, like, you know, Newt... the movie's going on in the 1920s, and Newt was in school sometime before that. So, he was like, so... Dumbledore was teaching then, and then in the 1990s with Harry, so he was at Hogwarts for, like, 80 years. I was like, I guess? I was like, that's a really long time. Like,
according to the Harry Potter wiki, Armando Dippet was born 1637.
I think that's wrong.
What?
It's got to be wrong.
Yeah. Dude was ancient.
Good try, Harry Potter wiki.
It's from a newspaper held up by Snape in the Harry Potter and the Chamber
of Secrets. Yeah, no.
So.
We're not going with
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Well, I think as far as Dumbledore, that works because we know that once, when Ariana died, he had initially, because when his mother died, he was going to go on a trip around the world. That got canceled. Then Ariana died, and he had no ambitions for higher standings within the wizarding community past being at Hogwarts after that happened. So that would work, because Ariana dies in the 19-teens or the 1900s. That works with the timeline. He must have just started at Hogwarts almost right when he could get a job. So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the book says graduation, but Newt was expelled.
You know, I'm going to go with the explanation because actually one of our MuggleNet staff who helped you out for a little bit on your live show, Allison, put forth that when Rowling wrote Fantastic Beasts, she obviously was not planning to turn it into a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Good point. Either that or, like, he lied in the biography.
Ooh. Yeah.
Just, you know, like, well, then, autobiographies, people sometimes just embroider the truth. Like, I don't know.
That's true.
But
he
yeah.
be like, when I was expelled.
Yeah. When I was expelled from Hogwarts. But yeah, it's probably she just didn't think of it, like you said.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if in, like, further editions of Fantastic Beasts, if anything is changed along those lines to better fit the continuity of the movies.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and then we'll have, like, the editions where, you know, pre-movie.
Or maybe it'll be explained in the movie and he really did graduate in some way.
He snuck on stage.
But, so what do we think about him endangering human life with a beast?
I need to know what beast, because...
That explains the level of danger.
Yeah, well, because, like, okay, with Hagrid and the Acromantula, like, that makes sense. But, you know, Aragog was very... He was much smaller at the time. But, you know, there was the chance, there was a risk, and then, you know, come to find out it was Tom Riddle and a basilisk, and that's, like, really... That, I'm not going to get into that right now, but, like, I think it does matter what kind of beast, because with Hagrid just had a tendency to, I don't know, he saw big, scary animals as, like, cute and fluffy, and, you know, fluffy,
Literally.
Fluffy the dog, yeah.
He himself and, is big and scary, but actually cute and fluffy.
Yeah, and it was just how Hagrid was. And, like, for Newt, I think, I don't know, maybe he...
Yeah, I guess when I heard it in the trailer, like, my immediate, the way that I imagined it is, like, for whatever reason, he had a beast. Not necessarily something as dangerous as an Acumantula, but, so, like, but that he had something and it got out.
Yeah, and I almost wonder, because I know by the time we get to Preserve Azkaban, like, it's mostly okay for hippogriffs to be on Hogwarts school grounds under supervision. I almost wonder if any, like, because, you know, the hippogriff farm background, like, if that had anything to do with it. And maybe he thought, you know, oh, well, I grew up around them, they're fine. But then, you know, like, a whole Malfoy situation happened. Like, you don't, like, we don't know, it was a different time. It could have just been something is what he thought, you know, was innocent. I think, you know, I personally don't see him bringing some sort of, like, crazy beast. Or maybe he stumbled upon something and, I don't know, was trying to, like, tame it
somehow.
Well,
maybe he, like, didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And kept it.
Well, and as we know, Newt is not very good at keeping track of his beasts, apparently.
Yeah.
Because...
He's like, ah, oh, it happened again.
Naughty, naughty.
Pastries! I hope that Niffler is named Pastries.
I wonder if there'll be any, like, flashback in the movie.
We don't have any newscasting on a young Newt, right?
No. But that's just because this story is brought up. I was like, it would be interesting if we flash back to it.
Yeah.
Anything else to say?
No.
On the expulsion? Okay.
Move on already.
So, just a kind of small point is one of the kind of longer scenes we get is Newt arriving in America.
Mm.
And we figured out that that would definitely have been at Ellis Island, which is pretty cool. I'm like, we'll just get a cool shot of the Statue of Liberty. It'll be fun. And it's his first trip to America. I don't think we really questioned that, but I thought it was worth noting.
That was pretty cool.
That he's never been to America. At least as far as the, as far as whatever. Maybe he lied.
That'll be fun, I guess, in that respect, because we as Harry Potter readers are kind of going on the same journey as Newt and discovering American wizarding culture in the same way that he is. It's going to be like a culture shock kind of experience for the viewer as much as it is for Newt. So that'll be cool.
And we discovered that his case has a little switch on it to make it muggle worthy.
Which is the setting it should have been on when he got it switched with Jacob's case.
I know.
Should always be on that setting.
Yeah, why isn't it always on that? Just in case, because... Right before that, the case, like, pops, like, one of the clasps comes undone, and he's like, oh, I must get that fixed. Like,
so blasé.
Dude, put it on Muggleworthy all the time so these beasts aren't just flying out accidentally.
You fool! Like,
of your broken case.
Anyway. Maybe he just likes courting danger.
Apparently.
So, then...
Oh my god.
There's this shot of a newspaper.
The newspaper.
About a minute, 10 seconds in. And we have figured out as much as we can about this newspaper. So it's called the New York Ghost.
Duh.
I should have written down what MuggleNet staff members figured each thing out, because a lot of these I got from our Facebook groups. But someone figured out it's the ghost.
The New York Ghost.
Which is interesting.
Boo. Yeah. That's not as clever as the Daily Prophet.
Pookie.
Phoenix Register. Okay, so the, like, biggest headline right on the left of it is International Wizard Hunt Intensifies. And Michael, you wrote in what was beneath it, so you want to...
Oh, I just marked them just so you wouldn't get confused and think, like, why did I write that? Because it... But...
Yeah, but other people can talk, so...
Well, oh, well, thank you. The underneath that headline, it says... IMP, so IMP, there's some group called IMP, it increases surveillance activities around the world. London, Ministry of Magic increases bounty to 1,000 galleons.
And then we have big letters, a reward for Alberto Macellaris.
Yeah, that sounds magical.
And there's a picture of him.
Yeah, he looks like fun.
And so we don't know if he's going to be relevant to the plot at all. It seems kind of odd to put him so obviously on this newspaper.
Yeah.
If he's not.
Where does it say? Because I think that's also, let me check the screen cap, because on the newspaper, according to the paper, he is wanted for counterfeiting wands. Oh, and murder. Okay, well.
Whoa.
that escalated quickly.
Much better eyesight than me.
That's intense.
Could not read any of this. Okay, well, yeah, that's interesting. Back to wands again. Another connection to wands. How do you counterfeit a wand? You just hand someone a stick and be like, yeah,
that's a wand. Maybe he pulled like the Fred and George and like they work for a second and then they turn into rubber chickens.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then he also murdered people, so.
Yeah, just casually.
That's like 0 to 100.
And this guy's on the loose. Oh, man.
This guy.
So then on the other side, the big headline is Magical Disturbance Risks Wizarding Exposure. And there's like a picture, but I think the picture is just kind of a street. Like, there's smoke, but there's nothing really telling.
It looks like the scene in Unfortunate Events when the Baudelaire's house is, like, in rubble.
Yeah.
Something seems to have exploded or caught fire.
Which makes sense, you know, that's a big magical disturbance that would then, I don't remember where all of these smaller headlines were. There's something that said threat levels. Oh, this is in the bottom left, which I thought was interesting. And it was like threat levels of magical exposure. And it has different years.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Where I guess they explain what the threat level was.
Oh, I want to read those so badly. There's threat levels in 1913, 1921, and then this year, 26.
I like that.
I think it's, yeah.
It makes me think of like, the like heat levels, if that, you know, where it's like danger, it's really hot out, don't go outside at all. This is like danger, you could be exposed,
you know, like we've spoken about this a lot on Alohomora in terms of how, you know, how the pre and post 9/11 world really affected the material of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, especially with the Scourers, if there is going to be kind of a terrorism undercurrent, strong undercurrent in Beasts that's kind of reflected by the current climate.
And that's, I mean, you just look at all the headlines on this paper and they're all like,
negative.
We are in danger.
Yep.
Of being exposed. I just thought that was really interesting. Another one, it was President Serafina Pickery to address fearful American wizarding community. So, still, everything's horrible. and it says, like, International Confederation of Wizards called for an emergency meeting.
Ooh.
I believe Igor, our editor, pointed this one out. Gellert Grindelwald International Wizard Hunt intensifies.
You know, you sure don't read the New York Ghost to cheer yourself up. Like, these are...
It's pretty depressing.
Unless it's not like... It doesn't seem that they're all connected to one event.
Yeah.
It seems like they're all different things.
Well, yeah, there's actually... Because I don't know where Igor saw the Gellert Grindelwald. I can't see it specifically where he might have seen it, but it...
I eventually found it.
Yeah, because it's the same International Wizard Hunt intensifies, the same phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because over...
I think it's the little headline next to sports.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Gellert Grindelwald.
American Quidditch team died.
But there is on the far left, next to Alberto Marcellarias' picture... There's a little column that says with a question mark for the greater good. So there seems to be multiple references to Gellert.
Well, that could even be the same article continued.
Oh yeah, it could, yeah.
Because sometimes articles on the front page are continued later.
Ah, could be. You make a good point about newspapers.
Yeah. Well, you know, like we don't really use them that much anymore. Oh, I know. So it's hard to understand how they work, but I got you. let's see, there was something that said Federal Bureau of Covert Vigilance and Nomad Obliviation.
Constant Vigilance.
Wow.
That sounds awesome.
How do they shorten the FBCVNMO? It's not as catchy as
FBCVNMO. Fair.
Maybe they don't have the M in their shortening and it's just
it rolls right off the tongue, really.
Yeah. So that's interesting. We really don't want the muggles to know about us.
Yeah.
Nomadges. And then the date of the paper is Monday, December 6th.
We pretty much established that it's winter because all the coats and such.
So now we know it's December and not, you know, January.
Well, because I remember, too, that Shannon had said in the early episodes that she noticed the Christmas wreaths on one of the buildings in one of the first trailer screenshots. So I guess New York is...
I'm observant.
Yeah, New York is prepping for Christmas. So you call... So there you go, Shannon. You got something. Oh. You got Christmas. You win.
Four for you, Shannon.
Yeah. Makes sense because it's coming out in, you know, Christmas.
Yep, so it's going to be a Christmas movie.
So that's everything we noticed about the newspaper.
Just the newspaper.
It wasn't
Will
much.
Any of that matter? Who knows?
Well, you know what's cool about this, though, with this newspaper is it's... Because I believe, I'm not sure on this, you guys might know more about this, is Mina Lima still doing... Okay, because still done in their style, but it's interesting because...
Oh, that's right, the New York ghost was confirmed because something on Mina Lima's, like, Instagram.
They like, hashtagged it on Instagram or something.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, because what's neat about that is they got kind of free reign, I know... to make up a few things back in Harry Potter. They made stuff up for the newspaper. But I feel like some of the stuff they've got in here seems to be more informed by Rowling and the information she's given them on American Wizarding Society.
Yeah.
So this seems to be like, this, you know, again calls into question things about canon, but this newspaper would seem to be perhaps more canon than the movie Daily Prophets.
There's a shot of it in the trailer that is very clearly focused on this newspaper. So it's like, at least one of these headlines has to be
a thing.
Important.
Yeah, and like, the only thing I would question, like, will this tie into the movie or not, is the Grindelwald information. Because that kind of seems like it's just like a, you know, hey, it's the same universe type tie-in. Like, the other things, I feel like there are a lot of things like threat levels of magical exposure. Like, we know that's going to be a theme. We know we're going to, you know, see... President Pickery. Like, there's things that they seem to be in there for a reason, but the only one I question is Grindelwald. Like, that's just kind of like a, hey, you know, it's Harry Potter.
It's, I would assume the magical disturbances risk wizarding exposure. I would assume that one is, like, the one that will be a plot.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
if that is either something that has happened or that Newt will cause or whatever.
Monday, December 6th, 1926. December 6th was not a Monday. It was...
What? I just looked this up. That's why I said what.
I think so. Let's see. Let me check it. Double check.
Wait, does it say it on the news?
Oh my God, it was. Oh my God, they got it right. Well done, movie people.
Oh, and Christmas was a Saturday. That's nice.
We can't take any more continuity errors. We're just...
But, we're done. Something actually interesting. I mean, we'll get more into this later, but December 6th, 1928 is Hagrid's
birthday. Oh my God.
Aww. Mm.
So, but let's finish up talking about the trailer.
Yeah. Let's forget about Hagrid. They're
obviously going into an underground speakeasy behind a brick wall. I really just brought that up because our name is Speakeasy.
Well, there's a shot later on, too, where an Auror seems to be apparating into what looks like a speakeasy. So
in one of
there's magical speak. What are magical speakeasies called?
Maybe that's where he gets his wand.
Ooh!
For him being expelled, that would be pretty illegal.
Oh my God! Maybe he accidentally buys one of these counterfeit wands.
Oh!
And tries to use it and does something stupid.
We solved the movie.
The whole movie is just him trying to get a wand. You know how in which Pirates of the Caribbean is Jack just keeps trying to find a new hat? That's just Newt in this movie with wands. He's picking them up off of people. But yeah, speakeasy, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
We saw a few shots from, well, we saw a big one that said Shaw, America's Future, with this guy, Shaw, and we saw a few more shots from apparently this same, like, dinner rally thing. There were a lot of American flags. So I double-checked, and Shaw is Senator Henry Shaw, played by Josh Cowdery, and Henry Shaw Sr. is played by John Voight. So they will be characters. It's unclear of, like, exactly what their role in the movie is, but there was some sort of disturbance at Shaw's dinner thing. Some sort of magical disturbance that might risk.
So I noticed the last time I was watching the trailer that there are two shots in the trailer, at least that I could spot. One of them being this shot, which was my favorite shot from the trailer, with this the tracking shot of the camera moving through as everybody's blasted out of their seats. But yeah. That shot, as well as another shot of kind of just flying through New York City, are done with a fisheye lens. And I'm wondering if those shots are supposed to be from the perspective of what I assume to be is a beast attack.
Ooh.
So I think because fisheye lenses are usually used to denote that something non-human is, like, you're seeing something through a non-human point of view. So I'm hopeful that maybe we're going to be actually seeing things from some of the viewpoints of the beasts.
We are the beasts.
I'm wondering, too, if that also means that we may not, like, because part of the mystery, I guess, will be what beasts were released and are attacking people.
But yeah, so it's unclear if Shaw, like, well, we don't know if he's a nomad or a wizard, but I'd assume a nomad.
Oh my god, what if a wizard is running for Muggle president?
I mean, maybe that.
What if he's a scour?
That's what I was trying to say, and you kept talking.
Sorry, Ariel. I'm trying to take up all the theories on this episode.
Gosh, Sophie and I aren't saying anything.
So then, when one comes right,
it's all me. Yeah. I got all of it.
Whatever. Sophie and I are like gonna get so many things correct, and y'all are gonna feel like
Wow.
Sophie, who do you think Shaw is?
Just throw an idea out there. It's correct no matter what you say.
Who is it? Yeah.
Don't, Shannon, don't sway her.
That was
he's an Akramantula human suit.
Shut up.
No, we talked about shape-shifting beasts in another episode, Michael. Don't get crazy here.
Yeah, I've gone too far. That would just be insane.
I like Sophie's idea. You're right.
Yeah. That good idea that I had.
See, I like too the reveal of the at least the imagery from Shaw's campaign, because that's the kind of stuff that actually made Fantastic Beasts finally, like, kind of intriguing to me, because I feel like finally we've got a little bit of groundwork of, like, oh, there's going to be, like, social and political consequences for Newt's behavior.
Yeah.
Like, something's gonna happen that's really big because of what he did.
We also got our first look at Modesty, who's a little girl. She was throwing things in the air. That was it.
But it's still exciting. We had the whole search for Modesty and never heard anything about, you know, what she was filming.
It's a big deal.
And so to even just see her, I was like, she's so cute.
I love that so many people are like, what did she throw? And I'm like, well, it kept going up, so I'm assuming it can fly, you guys. Like, probably she it looked very much like the only thing I could see when I looked at the trailer is it's like a white blob, so I'm gonna just go that she threw a dove or something very typical and symbolic. Perfect. Like that.
I'm trying to
she's
find
such an innocent
again.
Child throwing doves everywhere.
She's not with anyone else in the
yeah,
shot.
She's like playing in the street,
so we still really don't know like how she connects to everything.
Yeah.
What was, like, the thing revealed about her? It's like she's got some kind of magical, a very special magical power, right? Like, something unusual or something like that, right?
I just remember, like, when they were asking for the description, or the casting call, excuse me, they said she was, like, a haunted little girl.
Oh, yeah. It just says a haunted character.
Here we go.
Yeah.
With inner strength and stillness to life, which doesn't give much, but...
Yeah.
She possessed an ability to see deep into people and understand them.
What?
I don't know if that's actually a magical ability or just, I can understand.
See, that, okay, well, that speaks to the idea that maybe she'll be, that kind of ties in with Newt's disconnect with people. So maybe she's going to kind of be like his mentor in that way.
She's going to be the cute kid.
Yep, she's going to be, every time that, like, Tina gives him the eye and he doesn't notice, she's like, Modesty will be there like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Cute girl looking your way. Yeah. Here's a dove. Whoosh. That's the other thing she does. She throws doves at people.
Let's see. So then near the end, Graves says to President Seraphina Pickery, no human could do what this thing is capable of. So I guess there's a question for them of whether or not it's a human.
See, maybe that goes along too, right, with the idea that we're not going to find out right away what the beast is that goes on the attack. So.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, and there's that shot too of like a bunch of policemen, and they seem to be looking up at something.
Yeah.
So. And holding lots of guns.
They're gathered outside somewhere. There's lots of shots of throwing spells and apparating and running, and then Newt jumps off a building and apparates in midair, which I don't know how I feel about that, but whatever, it looks cool.
He's talented.
And then at the end, he climbs into the case.
Oh my god! There's a shot, too. Apparently one of your listeners noticed it over on MuggleNet. One of your listeners, Bob, noticed it, and I noticed it just this time I was watching, but there's a scene at the beginning where Newt and Jacob are down in, it appears to be in the case, and Newt is...
Oh yeah, he's like doing something.
Sophie, your theories are just killing it.
I'm on fire tonight.
The one where he's doing stuff with plants. And I was like, Neville? I didn't notice Jacob in that shot.
I didn't either until I paused it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's him working on some healing herbs for Jacob's bite.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have two shots that come one right after the other. It's about 20 seconds in. And that's, we can see like cages, plants, he's working on something. And then in the next shot, it would be cut together to make it seem as though these are continuous, but he has lost a sweater vest. So
you good eagle then, eye, Shannon. You're not letting them get by with this.
And then he's like squeezing something into a vial. It's kind of like powdery, gassy, like it's a weird looking substance. It's magic solidified. And then right after that is the other fisheye shot that you mentioned.
I'm going to stick with my fisheye shot theory.
Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, my other, like, I had two, for me, there were two money shots. The one I mentioned was the tracking shot through Shaw's event. And the other one that I loved was Tina and Queenie just doing regular old magic while they're like cooking in their apartment. That was a super cool shot, because it's exciting to have a movie where it really is just wholly and completely centered around adults using magic. Like,
seems so fluid and just
Well, and they seem so, like, if you look at their expressions, they're so natural about it. Like, they're not making a big deal of the fact that they're, like, chopping six different veggies and setting the table with wands. It's just a normal day to them. I feel in a way that that's even more effective than the original films were, because the original films always go out of their way to be like, look at the magic! Oh, magic! And here they're definitely taking a more natural approach, kind of how Rowling always implied wizards to be. It's a little more just everyday for them.
The original films, obviously, they're all from Harry's point of view, and he was obviously excited about magic, and now it's just normal.
Yes, always, it's always the references that scene from Goblet of Fire, the, I love magic! Like, we know, Harry, it's been 4 years. but what was everybody else's favorite scene?
I actually really liked the shot down where he's working with plants. And the explanation that that's inside the case makes that shot make so much more sense to me, because it's from up and it's, I was like, it stood out to me because it was such a weird angle.
I like it with the case when he switches it to muggle worthy. I don't know, it just felt really exciting.
I like just the fact that he just hops out of bed and is like, I'm gonna
fully clothed.
I know, because he seems to be like thinking about it for a minute. He's like, okay, I'm going.
He's laying in bed wearing this coat, and like at first I thought maybe it was just cut together to make it seem that way, but no, if you freeze it as he's getting out of bed, you can see that he's wearing the coat.
Yeah.
Jacob's also sat in bed wearing all open. His clothes as well. So.
Yeah. Because they both lost their cases.
Oh, yeah. Cases of pastries and beasts that weren't even full of actual clothing.
So they'll never have a costume change in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's their excuse to set a single costume.
That was the other thing, too, that I actually felt this trailer beat the, because I wasn't crazy about the teaser trailer. This completely, well,
this is the teaser trailer, Michael. The announcement trailer.
Excuse me, God, we live in such a stupid world right now. Sorry, I hate trailers for trailers for trailers. Like, it's absurd. But the announcement trailer, I was not crazy about, and I hated that the announcement trailer. Like, really, for some reason, I did not like it in the announcement trailer, loved it in the teaser trailer. The use of Hedwig's theme, I felt it evolved a little better in the teaser trailer and served the imagery a little better. And
it was much more obvious in the announcement trailer. They were like, look, it's Harry Potter. Yeah.
Can you feel us grabbing and tugging at your heartstrings right now? Like, that. This felt like a more appropriate use of Hedwig's theme.
Yeah.
So it was so intense, you guys. This trailer was so intense.
But yeah, so then he climbs into the case and he gestures at Jacob to follow him. And Jacob's like, what is happening? And that's the trailer.
It's amazing.
I'm excited.
Okay, yay. So for today's Time Turner segment, I thought we'd talk a little bit about Hagrid, because, like I said...
Because we haven't enough already.
Yeah, because I said there's some similarities. So, you know, endangering human life with a beast and getting expelled, am I right? So that's what happened to him, and that's also what happened to Newt. Rubeus Hagrid was born the 6th of December, 1928, so that's 2 years after Fantastic Beasts, so I don't think he'll be making an appearance.
Baby Hagrid!
I also don't think he ever went to America. I don't know, but maybe.
You don't know him.
I'm sorry. So, his father was never named, like, not even apparently by J.K. Rowling.
Wow.
Outside, because I couldn't find it.
She names literally everyone else but Hagrid's dad.
Yeah. His mother was the giantess Fridwulfa. When he went to Hogwarts, he was sorted into Gryffindor. And in his third year, he acquired an Akramentula, Aragog. I guess we don't know how he got it.
Do we ever?
Because I also didn't see that. So he just somehow got it. And then Tom Riddle set him up and got him expelled because Chamber of Secrets had been opened and people were dying. And, you know, as you know, people... get petrified when they see a giant spider, so...
I go crazy if I see even a small one. So... Yeah.
They really know about their beasts at Hogwarts. And then his wand was snapped.
Aww.
But he saved the pieces and put it in his pink umbrella. I mean, did he? I don't know.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, such a mystery. we'll never know.
So, the Harry Potter Wikia phrased this... Okay, so Dumbledore was Transfiguration teacher at the time, and they phrased it as he convinced Dippet to take Hagrid on as gamekeeper.
Oh, so he can do that, but he can't unexpel...
Yeah, well, that sounds like... is that how J.K. Rowling has stated it, that he convinced Tippett? Because I think when Hagrid or Dumbledore told the story, it was more like, ah, yes, and then it was Dumbledore was like, let's just take you on as gamekeeper. But I guess if he wasn't headmaster at the time.
According to the books, it's Dumbledore who does convince Tippett to do it. And that's why Hagrid has such reverence for Dumbledore. Because he got him out of that. Maybe, you know, wouldn't it be interesting? I have no idea how this would come up retroactively, but maybe the case with Newt influenced what happened with Hagrid.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, when would he have been started, like, okay, when would he have been gamekeeper? Because Molly Weasley talks about when she went to school, her gamekeeper was Og. And if Dippet was around...
That's true, because I had thought of that too, because I was like, okay, did they bring him on as gamekeeper immediately? Yeah. Because he was 13.
Yeah. We can trust him.
13-year-old boys.
Like, it had to have been when he was older, but then...
Maybe he was, like, assistant gamekeeper?
He was an intern.
Yeah, he was the TA.
He was tutored by Og.
Og and Hagrid's adventures in gamekeeping. I just created a new trilogy, guys.
I'm figuring this out. Okay, so the Harry Potter Wikia says that he became gamekeeper in 1968 because of Og had to have been gamekeeper until at least 1968 for Molly's story to make sense.
So like, in between the 40s and the 60s, Hagrid just
hung out,
wandered around.
Yeah.
Well, and he didn't have, because Hagrid wouldn't have had anywhere to go. His dad was dead and his mom was gone. So I'm assuming he probably did work with Og.
Yeah, that's what I would think, is he continued to work there. But yeah, so I wonder if, like, this happened with Newt, and then, okay, it's kind of happening again, let's handle it better, let's snap his wand!
And make him do manual labor.
Yeah. Although there's also something to be said of, like, there's definitely, you know, a prejudice against Hagrid because he's half-giant.
Yes.
So maybe it's not actually, they don't actually snap people's wands when they're expelled, but they just did for Hagrid, and they were like, yeah, because, you know, things.
Reasons.
Yeah.
Policy.
He's dangerous. Just look at how tall he is.
It's happened to me all the time. Yeah.
But I thought there was some interesting parallels there.
I feel like...
But of course, Hagrid was a Gryffindor, and we know Newt's not.
I feel like Aaron, when his joke fell flat...
All the time, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what, Aaron? Just go eat your peanut butter and get away from us.
He was.
Speaking of Aaron, should we open the Newt
case?
Yes!
Let's do it! Every time we open it without him, it feels great.
Well, yes, because today, since Aaron's not here and since I'm the Aaron stand-in, I'm doing a very bad job.
What,
because...
you're not Aaron?
Oh, but what a
Who
twist.
Are you?
Pulled an M. Night Shyamalan on Whoa. You. No, I am not Aaron.
The M stands
and
for Michael.
Because, yes, that's the big reveal of this episode. It's actually Michael. It's Michael Harley. And since I'm not Aaron... I'm not gonna do a horrible, scary, terrifying beast to haunt your nightmares.
Because you love me.
Instead, we're gonna talk about fluffy, adorable, cozy nifflers.
Oh my god!
Your voice just can't get high pitched enough for the adorableness.
I just want to squish
yes.
it.
Yes, nifflers. We're gonna talk about again, and they make Shannon want to puke.
Yeah.
What? But,
Nifflers. So
nah,
Nifflers.
Adorable.
The reason we're gonna focus on them too is because they are in the trailer. We do get a fantastic, so to speak, shot of Newt's little Niffler friend. By the way, does his Niffler friend have a name yet, or is he just the
Pastries.
Niffler? Pastries. Oh, that's yeah, right, we, Pastries.
Think,
his name
I think
Pastries.
We give him a different name every week.
No, Pastries that's is perfect.
We know.
I feel like cupcakes would be even,
no.
An even better.
Why are y'all trying to undermine my name?
My authority.
Gosh.
So the word niffler actually is a Scottish and Northern English slang term meaning exchange, mutually exchange, or barter.
Cool.
Which, so it's supposed to evoke, I guess, money.
Which makes sense, but I don't know if the niffler really believes in the mutually.
He thinks it's mutual. Yeah. He's like, you've got this shiny thing that I want.
It belongs to me now.
You get the experience of having met me, the end.
Yes, you got to touch the adorable fluffy creature, and I got your watch. So,
great.
Everyone.
Hi,
wins.
I'm Pastries. Give me all your gold.
As a friendly reminder, from for once, the Fantastic Beast that we're talking about is actually in the book, which is nice.
Hey, the last one was in the book.
Oh, so well, I haven't listened to episode 9
yet. I know you
haven't
listened to that, so.
So, well, that was more a criticism of J.K. Rowling than you guys, because Miss Rowling, I don't see a swooping evil anywhere in my copy of Fantastic Beasts.
Because he's evil, and it's a children's edition. Let's think of it that way.
What? Oh, whatever. If we can have the Leatherfold in there, then I think...
we can handle a swooping evil.
I don't care how evil it thinks it is. It looked really
got
pretty.
Got nothing on a Leatherfold. But the Ministry of Magic classification for the niffler is triple X, which means a competent wizard should be able to cope with it. And according to Newt, the niffler is a British beast. Fluffy, black, and long-snouted, this burrowing creature has a predilection for anything glittery. Nifflers are often kept by goblins to burrow deep into the earth for treasure. While the niffler is gentle and even affectionate, it can be destructive to belongings and should never be kept in a house. Nifflers live in layers up to 20 feet below the surface and produce 6 to 8 young in a litter.
Oh, baby pastries!
And nifflers actually appeared for the first time in the Harry Potter series in Goblet of Fire, and they were described as fluffy black creatures with long snouts. Their front paws were curiously flat, like spades, and they were blinking up at the class, looking politely puzzled at all the attention.
I like that they weren't just, like, rudely puzzled. They were politely puzzled.
Yeah.
They're super innocent. Yes, they're. I like that their cute nature belies their horrible, destructive nature, their other side. They did appear in the book series. They appeared in Goblet of Fire. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was their second appearance in 2001. And then, of course, in the Order of the Phoenix book when Lee Jordan puts one in Umbridge's office.
I love that. I hate that they never put that in the movie.
Disappointing.
Just,
the niffler does has made quite a few actual physical appearances in a few in pieces of Harry Potter media, and actually my fellow hosts will be able to click on the links and take a look at some of these niffler pictures. The first one is from Goblet of Fire, the PlayStation Portable edition. Which is the only version the niffler
that can't be a niffler. That is ugly.
That is, I believe, the first depiction of a niffler on the screen.
No, I'm talking about the second link.
Oh yes, so the second one was the niffler as it appeared, as it would have appeared in the films if it had made it in.
First one's horrible too. What? Why is it pink and not fluffy? It looks like it just looks really ugly.
So,
yeah, so we're the just one getting from the progressively.
I like that it's near deodorant.
Better.
So the first one, so we can the listeners get a sense. The first one in Goblet of Fire, in the Goblet of Fire PlayStation Portable video game, because that's the only version that it appeared in. Kind of looks like a seahorse if you took the snout and elongated it,
And you made it brown
and boring. Yes, that's the niffler in Goblet of Fire.
Are we sure this is a niffler and not a bow truckle?
That is definitely a niffler. The bow truckles look different in the game.
Let's talk about the one next to the deodorant, because I've got real issues.
It is next to deodorant. Oh my god.
You know what's sad about the deodorant? This is that desk, that's Neville's desk next to his bed.
Aw. Well, at least he wears deodorant, you know?
Good job, Neville. The Niffler, as it was meant to appear in the original series, it would have appeared as a little figurine on Neville's desk. It never actually made it into the film, but it's on the set, and it is sold at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Probably won't be anymore once Fantastic Beasts comes out.
No one needs to see that. First of all, it looks like it was shaved of its awesome black fur.
Yeah,
it looks like someone ripped off its eyelids, and that's why it looks so bug-eyed. What is with those teeth? It's smiling slightly?
And it's got an elephant's trunk.
That nose looks inappropriate. It's just not right.
It basically looks like something out of the Pink Elephant sequence in Dumbo.
Yeah. And it's got like horns. Do you see those?
Yeah, it looks like it's got little backwards, like little horns
its
pointing
back. Its little feet are ugly.
Yeah, it is like if you crossed an elephant and a pig and naked mole rat and a hatred for children all into one thing.
You got yourself a Niffler.
This Niffler looks like it has spotted something shiny and is ready to pounce.
No, this Niffler has seen some things. Like
and the Niffler's final appearance up until, of course, the new movie was Pottermore Wonder Book of Spells, which I feel like I'm one of the only people who played that silly game. And the Nifflers look almost pretty close to their description.
I like that Niffler. That's friggin' cute.
Similar to the movie.
They match the description. They have like twin turbo engines for noses.
They have like bangs.
Yeah. you use them to they appear in the game stealing coins, and you have to use the Defodio spell to dig up the coins that they're taking away from
you. We need to link these somewhere.
You will find a way.
I will, personally, because that one doesn't need to be seen. I'm not doing that to the world.
The Nifflers also appeared in Lego Harry Potter years 1-4. I don't have a picture, but they basically look like a little black mole, but made out of Legos. they're cute. They appear everywhere in the game. The only thing we've really gotten about the Niffler so far from the new movie, other than its lovely little appearance holding a change purse in the trailer, is that, as Eddie Redmayne said to Entertainment Weekly, they have this wonderful love-hate relationship. The Niffler is incredibly aggravating and wonderful at the same time. He's a complete nightmare, yet Newt gets off on his playfulness and single-mindedness.
No.
I'm excited.
That's the summary of pastry.
Pastries, it's plural.
Excuse me. Oh my heavens.
You're fired.
That's all right. He doesn't even go here.
Yes, you do. No. Shut up.
But yes, that's what's in the Newt case today. So many Nifflers. Oh my god, and they just had babies and there's so many Niffler babies.
Oh my god, they're just coming out. Ah, they bit me.
No, they don't bite. Shut up. You're not made of gold.
I'm very shiny.
You don't know.
Excuse me.
I know. So that's it for this episode. Make sure you send us in your news stories, fantastic theories, comments, questions, drawings, love letters, especially anything really. And I really want to thank Sophie and Michael for joining us today.
Yay.
Oh, no, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been wonderful.
It's always fun popping on to Speak Beastie. And also, by the way, I have to.
Oh, boy, the big speech.
I just have to say, I'm so sorry, listeners, for the last time I was on and I misled you all about what happened during the Salem Witch Trials. It's all J.K. Rowling's fault. I apologize. I don't know how that happened because I did a lot of research on the witch trials back when I was a kid. I should have known better then. So if you listen to my episode, episode 7, just don't pay attention to any of it.
Oh, wait, that's your episode all of a sudden?
It's mine.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure that I'm sure Shannon tuned out for that whole episode.
Yeah.
Because if she had been listening, she would have corrected everything.
Exactly.
I'm taking all the blame off of her. So. Well, because on episode 8, Ariel was so sweet and like took all the blame on herself and was just like, I didn't do the research. And I was like, no,
I know, I was like, no, Michael said it.
Yeah, I had no idea where that
You know
came
me,
from,
I have
like,
to
no.
shoulder the blame. I just have to, it's all me. I did it.
The burden of bearing a whole podcast, right?
The beast of burden. Speak, oh, speak beast God. Of burden. Forget it. Okay, Sophie, do you have a speech like Michael's? Which I doubt you do, because you're perfect always, so.
Oh, thank you. That's too kind. No, I don't. Just thank you. As yeah, always.
You don't make mistakes.
It's been great again. Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Listen I say silly
me.
Things like,
that's
he's
the
doing
point.
Things. Like, what?
We love that.
Oh, good.
I mean, you clarified the whole movie for
yeah,
me, Sophie.
Like,
I was.
He's doing things. That's all we need to that's... know.
Like, thank goodness he is, because what a waste of a trilogy if he hadn't been.
We can all go home now. Yeah. Oh. So you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, and Tumblr at SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com. And don't forget that we're on Patreon, where you can sponsor us and get cool things. And please sponsor us, and then we can have merchandise with cool t-shirts and cool things.
I want pastries on a shirt.
Yeah. Pastry the Niffler on a shirt. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
With pastries.
Pastries is like our new mascot.
Like,
yeah.
The Niffler called pastries with a cupcake half in his mouth.
Oh my gosh. A golden cupcake.
Oh my gosh.
A golden cupcake.
A golden cupcake.
That needs to be a shirt.
I want
that would
t-shirt.
Be a, that would be a better shirt than just having the Niffler and with pastries underneath, because then Harry Potter fans will be like, do you eat Nifflers? Like, what's your. What's wrong with you?
Why did you say that, like, oh gosh, it sounded like the way you said it was like, do you even lift, brah? Like, do you eat Nifflers?
Bruh, do you like eat Nifflers? What? Bruh.
Oh gosh, okay,
bruh, that's not a pasty, bruh.
I hate that a lot.
I don't even know what we're doing.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Sophie.
And I'm Michael. Oh, I get to do the thing.
Stop
again,
acting
huh?
surprised.
Well, I do, because it's like everybody always wants to do the like the open the Dumbledore and Alohomora. So I'm always shocked that you guys give it to me when I'm on. Thank you for listening to episode 10 of Speak Beastie. Case closed.
'Cause like I give $2 a month for Patreon and I didn't get any of the bloopers. I'm like, I'm a host of the show. I have to know if I'm being made fun of or not for $2. Like, come on. Like, I didn't give $5 because I was like, you know, like there's gonna be people who actually like want that content and stuff. And I was like, but I'm a host. I thought I would get that anyway.
Don't I just get this?
Yeah.
Because?
I listened to the whole last episode and we didn't get any bloopers afterwards. I was like, what?
We lived them, Ariel.
But I don't, there's so much that we say that doesn't get put in the episode. I worry. You never know.